When God strips off our coat of many colors, when God strips off our coat of many colors. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read verses 2 and 3, and then we're going to go to verse 18. Genesis 37, verse 2. It says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was the sons of Bilhah with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Verse 3 says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his own age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Verse 4 says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now look with me at verse 18. Verse 18 says, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Talking about Joseph's brothers conspiring to slay Joseph. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto him, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. And lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hand to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Here in our story, Jacob has 11 sons. And the Bible tells us that Joseph, his youngest son, was who he loved the most. And in our story, as we read, because of his love for Joseph, he made him a wonderful coat, a beautiful coat of many colors. And here's the question that's really on my heart to ask. And the question is this. What did this coat of many colors represent? Well, it represented his father's favor. Jacob favored Joseph over all of his sons. It represents the favor of his father. But what I want us to understand is that this favor that we see is not the favor of God. It doesn't represent the favor of God. We see that it's an ungodly favor, because Jacob is esteeming, he's preferring one son above all the other sons. And what we see here in this is we really see the rejection that is just setting in the heart of Joseph's brothers. See, every day Jacob's love for Joseph was flaunted in the face of his brothers. Flaunted in the face of his brothers. And it caused him a lot of hurt. It caused him a lot of pain. And when you look at the story, you can see that there was such a spirit of rejection that came upon Joseph's brothers and took hold of their hearts. And it began to dominate their lives. So the giving of this coat isn't the favor of God. We're not talking about the favor of God. In fact, this coat represents favor that lost humanity bestows. And to go even further, it represents what mankind says gives a person their worth and their value. This coat represents what this lost world says we need to robe ourselves with in order to find our worth, in order to find our value, in order to find these things. So this coat represents what the lost world tells us we need to robe ourselves with to be special, to be unique, to be valuable. That's what this coat represents. And beloved, what I want us to understand this morning is many people, including many that are saved, place their worth and value in different things. They find their self-worth and their value in so many things other than the love of Christ. Many place their worth and value in their appearances. Many place their worth and value in their clothes. Many people place their worth and value in people's praises. Many place their worth and value in their accomplishments. Many place their worth and value in their relationships. Many place their worth and value in their success. Many place their worth and value in popularity. Many place their worth and value in their education. They place their worth and value in their reputation. They place their worth and value in people's acceptance. Many place their worth and value in so many things other than the love of Christ. But brothers and sisters, when you look at these things, a lot of these things that I mentioned in themselves aren't wrong. But when it's in these things that we try to find our sense of worth, we try to find our sense of value, it really can lead to bondage in our lives. It really can lead to a lot of bondage in our lives. Now, let me just share with you my story and what God had to do in my life regarding this. Before I was saved, like many people, I experienced a lot of horrible rejection from a lot of different people. And in this horrible state of rejection, I found myself always trying to feel valuable. Always trying a way to feel valuable. You know, it doesn't matter how much people reject me. You know, I have value. And you know, I worked so hard trying to impress people with things that I could do well. That was the robe that I put on. I wanted to feel valuable. I wanted people to think of me as someone that was special. So I really tried to impress people with things that I could do well, because when they were impressed by things that I were doing, it really made me feel like I had significance. I was placing my worth and my value in that. And when I got saved, I brought this mentality into my Christian walk. And it was when I got into ministry that the Lord really began to expose it and really began to deal with this thing. And let me just share with you how the Lord began to deal with it in my life. When the Lord first called me to preach, I went to my pastor and I said, I really feel like the Lord is calling me to preach. And he says, you know, Tim, I sense that. I sense the word of God is in your heart. And I sense that you're anointed to preach. I've heard you speak before. So I'm going to start letting you preach. And, you know, there were other preachers in that church besides myself. And the pastor was using them. I mean, they were called to preach. They were anointed to preach. So the pastor used them. So when the pastor allowed me to start preaching, it wasn't long after he allowed me to start preaching that I found myself sneaking into the church, going to the tape department, and seeing what preacher was selling the most tapes, whose sermons were selling the most. In my mind, I thought of it like this. You know, it must be the preacher that's selling the most tapes in the church, the preacher that most of the people are listening to the most. You know, he's probably must be the most popular preacher in the church. I mean, I was doing that. It was so important to me that my name was at the top of the list. It was so important to me that my tape was outselling everybody else's tapes. More people were buying my sermons than anybody else's sermons. Why? Because my whole worth and value was wrapped up in that. It was wrapped up in that. That is where I found my worth and value. And, you know, those months where my tapes were selling the most, I felt pretty good about myself. I felt pretty good about my ministry. When people were listening to my sermons more than other people's sermons, you know, I felt, you know what? I must be pretty important. I must be pretty valuable. I must be pretty significant. But those months when someone else's tapes were selling more than mine, you know, I felt horrible. A lot of fear got into my heart, because my worth and value was all wrapped up in this, beloved. My worth and value. Now, I know that might sound kind of silly, might kind of sound elementary, but it was very important to me then. But see, the Lord began to speak to me about this. The Lord began to tell me, Tim, your worth and value doesn't come from being the most popular preacher. It doesn't come from how many tapes you sell or don't sell. It only comes from my place, my love for you. Tim, your worth and value comes from my one place, and it's my love for you. It's not in what you're doing. Again, it's not in how many tapes you're selling or not selling. It's simply that I love you. And I have, by the blood of my son Jesus, I have made you a son of God. I've adopted you. You are my son. And that is your identity. And that is what gives you your value. I love you. You are my son. That alone is what gives you your value. That's what gives you your value. And God really began to ingrain this within me. Tim, your worth and value simply comes from the love that I have for you. It simply comes from that you are a son. And I've adopted you as a son. And in my mind, you know, in time, I begin to get a mental assent. You know, God, you're right. You're right about this. That's where my worth and value is. It's found in the love of Christ. It's found in the love of God. And it's my identity is that I am your son and you love me. And that's what gives me my value. That's what makes me valuable. But mental assent wasn't enough. God really wanted to set me free from this. He truly wanted me simply to rest in his love. He wanted me to rest in that, Tim, you're my son. I love you. That's what makes you valuable in my eyes. And I just want you to rest in that. That I wasn't looking. The Lord wanted to bring me to a place that I wasn't looking to anything else for a sense of self-worth and value. I was valuable because he loved me. That's why I was valuable. So, God wasn't going to settle for a mental assent. He really wanted me to come to this place of rest in my heart. God, I'm valuable and as valuable to you as anybody else simply because you love me. So what did God do in my life? What did he do in my life? He began to bring a death into this area. And verse 24 really captures how he did this in my life. I want you to look with me at verse 24. It says, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And I'm emphasizing, there was no water in it. So in other words, Joseph's brothers threw him into a dry pit. And you know, I know this may sound humorous, but this is what God did to me. Dryness. Dryness. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about, dryness. Let me tell you something. My sermons became so dry. My sermons, listen, my sermons that I were preaching, when God began to do this, became so lifeless. There was no anointing. There was no life in it. It became so dry. And ultimately what happened, nobody was buying my tapes. Nobody was buying my tapes. And churches that used to preach, have me come and preach, they stopped calling. They didn't want to hear me preach anymore. Why? Because my sermons were so lifeless and boring. I know that may sound humorous to you, but back then it meant a lot to me. And I began to pray and say, God, you know, why is this happening? See, at this point, I felt like such a failure. I felt like such a failure in my ministry. I felt such a failure in my Christian walk. And I began to ask God, God, why is this happening? And the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Tim, your worth and value doesn't come from how popular you are as a preacher. Your worth and value doesn't come from how many tapes you sell or don't sell. It comes all from one thing. I love you and you are precious to me. Tim, I have allowed this to happen because like Joseph's coat, I am stripping you of everything you find your worth and value in outside of me and my love. I'm stripping you of everything the world says gives you value. Only one thing gives you value. You're my son. I love you. That's your identity. And that's what gives you your value. Amen. So now the question I have to ask us this morning, I really feel like it's from the Lord. Does there seem to be some things in your life drying up and withering away? In your lives. Does there seem to be some things in your life drying up and withering away? Let me just mention a few things that the Lord put on my heart. First of all, relationships. Listen, people that really suffer with a rejection issue are always trying to get in relationships because it's relationships that make them feel like they're special. It's relationships make them feel like they're loved. It's relationships that make them feel like they have value. So people that really suffer with this issue of rejection are always, a lot of them are always trying to get into relationships because that is where they find their sense of love and value. So the question is, are there some relationships in your life that are a little too codependent and they are drying up? Amen. Number two, ministry. There are many people feel if they are doing something for God, then they are valuable to the Lord. Many people have that mindset. It's when I'm doing something for God that I have value with the Lord. So in other words, they find their worth and value in what they're doing for the Lord and not in who they are in Christ. Many people like that. It's where their worth and value is found. You know, my father's been a pastor for 50 years. Maybe a little longer than 50 years, I forget. But he really loves the Lord. But I'll never forget a dream the Lord gave my father. And he really spoke to his heart. And my father calls it his forklift dream. In this dream, he's preaching in a church. And right in the middle of his sermon, everybody on this side of the building gets up and walks out on his preaching. And my father said, that's a weird thing to happen. But he kept preaching. And then suddenly everybody on this side of the building got up and walked out in the middle of the sermon. So he's sitting there all by himself preaching. He doesn't have an audience. And he says, well, I'm going to keep preaching. Well, suddenly as he's preaching to no audience, a forklift busts through the back door, comes down the aisle, picks up the pulpit, turns around, and takes the pulpit out of the building. And my dad was like, God, what does this mean? What are you trying to tell me? And this is what the Lord said. The Lord says, if I was to strip you of your ministry, would I still be enough for you? Would I still be enough to satisfy your heart? If you lost your ministry, if you lost everything, would I still be enough for you? And beloved, this is the question I want to ask. I want to ask you the same question. If God never gave you another opportunity to minister, when it comes to feeling you have value to God, could you simply rest in knowing that He loves you? Or would you feel in your heart you lost some of your value to the Lord? Amen. Listen, we're going to labor for the Lord. There's a lot to do for the Lord. There's a lot of work we need to do for the Lord as a church in these last days. But my worth and value isn't found in what I'm doing for the Lord. It's found in one place. He loves me. He loves me. I am His son. He loves me. People's acceptance. Listen, people who find their worth and value in people's acceptance strive so hard to please people in order to be accepted by them. Beloved, that's a very painful way to live because no matter how hard you try and strive, you're not going to please everyone. But yet, I know there are many people, they just need to feel like they have man's acceptance. That's what gives them their sense of worth and value. So they're always trying to please people. But beloved, listen, God called us to love everybody, but He didn't call us to please everybody. Amen. And it's when we got people's acceptance, we fill up here. And then when we feel rejected by people, our worth and value feels so down here. And God says, no. Listen, your worth and value isn't found in people's opinions of you. It's found in what God thinks about us. And God loves us. Amen. How about self-image? I know when I was saved, I really wanted people to see me as a man of prayer. I really wanted people, when they looked at me, something in their heart would say, there's a man of prayer. He's a man of prayer. You know, we can place our worth and value in an image we try to set up before people about ourselves. And then we live in fear and exhaust ourselves trying to live up to this image. So the question is, does this image you have set up before people about yourself seem to be drying up? This image that you're trying to portray yourself to people, does it seem to be drying up? Beloved, listen, if you are a prayer warrior, that's wonderful. But your worth and value is not found in your reputation as a prayer warrior. It's not. So does it seem like this self-image that you're trying to hold up before people is drying up? Well, then you just need to find your value in the love of Christ. Amen. Now, I believe right now there are some hearts that are beginning to say, Pastor Tim, I recognize it. This is what is happening in my life, and this is painful. This doesn't feel like freedom. It feels like a very slow death. Trust me, I know what you mean. I really understand what you mean. This was very painful for me to go through. But when I look back on it now, it was a very good pain because it brought me to a place of freedom. God brought me to a place, even though I'm not completely there yet, God brought me to a place where my worth and value is found in the love of God. Listen, if y'all never buy one of my sermon tapes again, it's not going to move me. If nobody ever listens to me on that internet, to my sermons on the internet, it's not going to move me. I do what God called me to do with the ability he has given me with all my heart. And I know where my worth and value is. It's in his love for me. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying I'm completely there yet. But God has set me free from a lot of bondage and fears that come with placing my worth and value in things other than the love of God. Amen. I want to share with you a truth the Lord set before my heart as a man in ministry. Something the Lord set before my heart. I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Look with me at verse 6. It says, it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And saw I David from that day and forward. So here we see, what we see here is both Saul and David are called by the Lord and anointed by the Lord to be warriors in battle. They are called by the Lord to be warriors in the kingdom of Israel. And the Bible says that plainly the people begin to favor David over King Saul. And they really begin to sing David's songs. Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. They begin to sing his songs. And what you see here in this story is there's a jealousy that rises up in Saul's heart. He becomes jealous of David. And beloved, this is what I want you to see. Saul made an enemy out of someone who was truly anointed of God. Saul made an enemy out of someone who was truly anointed of God because he just seemed to be more popular in the eyes of the people. So in his jealousy, he made an enemy out of him. Now, beloved, my point is this. Jealousy is eating up the church, and jealousy is eating up the ministry. People are harboring jealousy and bitterness in their hearts towards other people. Well, they like his preaching better than they like my preaching. They like her singing better than they like my singing. More people go to his church than people go to my church. You know, jealousy is eating up the ministry. It really all comes out of a heart of jealousy. But beloved, listen, it's not about who preaches better. It's not about who sings better. It's about just doing what God has called us to do with the ability he has given us to do it. That's what it's about. You need to hear that. I'm telling you, when that gets in the heart, that is so freeing. Listen, the freedom of a minister is simply this. I'm just doing my part with the ability God has given me to do it with. That's the freedom of being in ministry. I'm telling you. Brothers and sisters, listen. We're not competing with each other because we are all on the same team trying to see as many souls saved as we can and see the church built up and edified. Listen, hear this. Building God's kingdom is about just doing what God has called us to do with the ability God has given us. Amen. That's what it's all about. Whatever ability God's given you, use it with all your heart. And you're doing your part. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're not competing with each other. We are on the same team. But when we start competing with each other because jealousy is in our heart, then we're playing on the other side, playing for the other team. And we all know who the other team is. Listen, say you're on a football team. It doesn't matter if you're the quarterback and you're up for Heisman and you just threw your fifth touchdown of the game, or you are a lineman who gets no recognition at all. Listen, when someone scores a touchdown, the whole team wins. You understand that? And it doesn't matter if we're the evangelist who's giving glorious altar calls and people are getting saved, or we're the person in the nursery nobody recognizes. When somebody gets saved, the whole team wins. We are all on one team. But I'm telling you, jealousy is eating up the ministry. Building God's kingdom is about just doing what God has called us to do with the ability God has given us to do it with. That's what it is. So let me end with this. What are some evidences that we are truly trying to find our self-worth and value in something else other than the love of Christ? I have three. What are some evidences that we are truly trying to find our self-worth and value in something else other than the love of Christ? Number one, jealousy. Jealousy. When we are jealous of someone because of what they have, often we are jealous because we are not finding our value alone in the love of God. We feel like we are lacking something that gives us value, and this person has what I'm lacking. That's what we feel in our heart. That's what we feel in our heart. A lot of it comes out of that. But beloved, listen. When you are a born again child of God, you're not lacking anything. Listen, you are engrafted into God's family. You are His son. You are His daughter. He deeply, passionately loves you. And that is what makes you valuable. Amen. Number two, low self-esteem. Low self-esteem. Listen, if we have low self-esteem, it's because we truly don't recognize how precious we are to God. If we are a person with low self-esteem, it's simply because we really don't recognize how precious we are to the Lord. Low self-esteem means there is something I don't like about myself, whether it's my looks or my personality or whatever. But listen, God is the one who made you, and there's no one else in this entire earth who is exactly like you. God made you pretty special. He made me pretty special. God made us special. Amen. So I'm telling you, if you're here today and you have low self-esteem, it's because you're putting your worth and value in something else other than the love of Christ. Number three is spirit of rejection. What are some of the evidence we are truly trying to find our self-worth and value in something else other than the love of Christ? A spirit of rejection. You know, when people reject us, it hurts. And that's a given. It's going to hurt. But when I'm talking about people that every day live under a spirit of rejection, they just get up under this heaviness of this spirit of rejection, always reading into things, how people reject me. I'm telling you, when you have a spirit of rejection, you're always reading into what people are doing, and you take it as rejection, and it has nothing to do with rejection. Beloved, it is because we truly don't understand in our hearts how precious and priceless we are to the Lord. We're walking around with the spirit of rejection. It's only because we're not truly realizing in our heart how precious we are to the Lord. And only a revelation of the love of Christ is going to break this in our lives. So let me just sum it up this morning. Our worth and value is found in one thing, and that is the love of God. My worth and value, your worth and value is simply in we are the sons and daughters of God. We are loved by God. We are His children. He has made us His children. If we find our sense of worth and value in anything else, God wants to set us free from it because it just leads to horrible bondage in our life. I'm telling you, listen, when you find your worth and value in something else other than the love of God, it opens your heart to so many different fears. We are a person that is always tormented by fear, because that is the bondage it leads to in our life. But I'm telling you, God wants to bring us into this rest. Listen, you're valuable and you're worth something and you're priceless simply because I love you. I shed my blood for you and you are my son and daughter. If you are truly born again, you are my son and daughter. And that will always be where your worth and value comes from. Amen. God's going to strip off those coats. Everything the world tries to place on you and me and say, this is where your worth and value comes. God's going to strip them off. He wants us to come into that rest where, God, you love me. That alone makes me valuable. You love me. Stand with me this morning.